A frequency beyond space and time.
Unspeakable knowledge. It is.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that.
Happy 4th of July, folks. You're going to be hearing my just fucking masterful editing skills as I cut out every firework.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the 42nd episode of Mad Tower Radio. I'm your host Dan, joined by my co-host Christian, and on the show we usually talk about all things in the realm of horror. Conspiracies, cryptids, ghosts, goblins, urban legends, myth, weird science, weird history, and the occasional book club, which is what we have for you today. Many of you might not have heard of this movie, or you might have. I really don't know how popular this movie was. But we watched and read Annihilation, and there's just no words, man. This is one of the greatest things I've ever read in my life.
Sometimes something scratches the itch so thoroughly that you just have to go in the group chat and you're like, whatever the fuck you were going to talk about this week, just cut it.
Yep.
It's Annihilation.
Yep, we're talking about Annihilation this week, boys.
Much like the book, it's infectious. It's getting around.
It is infectious. So, we're going to start by just giving you a brief overview, synopsis, whatever you want to call it. The first thing I want to say is that both the movie and the book are very good. You watch the movie, and a lot of things had to get cut for, you know, just time's sake, and like, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We haven't even given an overview, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how would you describe it?
I would describe it as a sort of exploration, sci-fi horror thriller set in like a forest preserve that has been entirely made out of color out of space.
Yeah, pretty much. It follows this team, this expedition group that is going through the border of this, just they call it Area X in the movie and in the book, but Area X is like this, just this strange border, and nobody on the outside knows what's going on in there because nobody comes back and there's no comms equipment and blah blah blah. It's a black hole on the other side, right? So you follow the team that goes through, and on the other side it starts off as like this, you know, this beautiful wilderness, and there's like animals and beautiful flowers and foliage, and it just looks like nature is like taking back over, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were teleported to like, you know, like a primordial Jurassic era Earth that was just completely untouched by man. Oh, and also the whole expedition loses the first 4 days of their expedition as soon as they cross the border. As soon as they cross the border, they all just black the fuck out for 4 days.
Crossing.
They just wake up in like a camp that they set up. It's in the border. The border has a really, really, really fucking cool effect. It looks super cool.
They refer to it, I think, as the shimmering,
yes,
or something.
They call it the shimmer.
I didn't really love the effect in the film.
You didn't like how it looked?
It looks kind of like these wavy, sort of like almost wet curtains,
like a membrane.
Yeah, like viscous, sort of like.
And that's I definitely think it's supposed to. Well, not even definitely. It's supposed to look like that.
The reason I like attributed sci-fi to it is that it's so full of biology, and like the main character, I think, is a biologist, and she uses all of this like natural understanding to sort of relay the story and tell us what's happening.
Well, before we get ahead of ourselves, that is in the book. In the movie, this science element is just like a background. She looks through a microscope a couple times. They use quote unquote science to convey the message. She looks through a microscope and she sees fucked up cells, right? All the audience is supposed to get out of that is like, oh shit,
the cells are weird.
She's been affected by this place in some way. But in the book, they go more into like the scientific aspect of it, and you know, why it might look like that, and The whole reason that she goes into the Shimmer is because her husband volunteered on the last expedition, and she feels like she owed him, and, you know, she needed to go see what happened to her husband, because her husband came back. But when he came back, he was changed, right? He was like, he had trouble remembering stuff, he was getting nosebleeds, and just acting really fucking strange. Then that's when this government agency, Southern Reach, shows up, and it kidnaps the husband, and the wife gets kidnapped too, and then she's like, I want to go on the expedition, and it's just this whole black government conspiracy, and they're like very, very SCP kind of thing.
Oh, sure. I've spoken to two people, not in the sort of reading circle, and they both said that they preferred the movie
really
to the film, and I thought that was surprising.
Movie
because
to the
I'm
book?
100 movie to the book, yeah, might be, and I'm totally in team book.
I am also totally in team book.
The book gives it to you in the form of almost journal entries, like you're reading what she's written down.
Sure.
After her experience, and that's just not a way to, you know, make a movie. You don't get to do a past tense like recollection in something like this.
Yeah, you know, I guess that makes sense. I thought some of the characters were a little lame too. I thought that in the movie. I thought the paramedic was kind of lame. But her story was cool. Like how she affected the story was cool. But I thought,
well, like the team of scientists is different, isn't it? Because in the book, say an anthropologist, a biologist, a psychologist, and a surveyor.
Yep. In this one, it is a physicist, a anthropologist. No, my bad. A physicist, a fucking geologist. That's what it was.
Yeah.
A biologist, psychologist, and then paramedic. And it's weird because they're all women, so they allude to like, oh yeah, we're trying the expeditions with different criteria to see if we get different results. It's nuts. And if this hasn't been enough to convince you to go watch the movie and or read the book, then I don't know what to tell you.
I'm struggling, like, the spoiler wall is pushing up against me.
The whole reason I'm having trouble collecting my thoughts is because I'm trying not to talk about spoilers.
Exactly.
So, this is your first and final and only spoiler warning from here on out. I'm going to fucking let it rip. So, yeah.
By all means, let it rip.
Yeah, this movie is fucking insane. Did you notice the detail with the tattoo?
The tattoo on Natalie Portman?
Yes.
What does she got?
In the movie, after they kill the alligator, they find these boats, and they're going down the river on these boats, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just little paddle boats. And she says, she, like, looks down at her arm, and she's like, oh, yeah, ow, looks like I got a bruise from when we were fighting the alligator. Throughout the course of the movie, that bruise develops into a tattoo that you can see on other characters and bodies of characters throughout the movie.
Interesting.
So her bruise turned into a tattoo that another person had.
My whole problem with the film is that, like, the level of threat is so different. Like, they portray the Area X as just having, like, weird, dangerous animals, like rabid bears and gators that will attack you, and that's like the peak of it.
Yeah.
In the fucking book, every time they go to bed, they hear these dark wailing from the swamp.
Yeah.
There's unknowable demons out there. It just ramps it up to such a different degree in the book.
So, yeah, they make the threat really one-dimensional in the movie. But in the book, they claim, or they say multiple times throughout the story that, like, yeah, we got no fucking clue what's going on here. Not only do we not know who is perpetrating this or what is perpetrating this or if anything is perpetrating, we don't know. In the book, it's a lot more like journal entry style writings, right? And a lot of what you're reading is just like her observations. And she's like, oh, it does this, which indicates that it's trying to camouflage itself. But it also does this, which indicates that it's trying to, like, consume everything. So, like, even once you're inside, they still don't have any clue what's going on.
it lends itself in that journal format to better, like, just spit out all the facts of the world. Like, the weird thing that's going on is, like, things are being imbued with human DNA, kind of. Like, there's weird splicing things going on.
It's a lot different in the movie, right? Because, yes, that happens in the book, but it's not as prominent. In the movie, it seems like that's really the only thing that the Shimmer is doing, is, like, just trying to copy and clone and use whatever's in the Shimmer, right? But I can't tell you because I'm ahead of you. I'm halfway through the book, or I'm halfway through the second book, and I'm starting to think that this is, like, that it's a sentient kind of maybe even not malicious, but it knows what it's doing, like an organism. Because
when you say that you know what it's doing, like, do you attest any kind of, like, malice towards the creature, or that it's just, like, a living biological creature that just does the things that living things do?
Maybe not malice.
Yeah.
But I think it's trying to hide
that it is an intelligent living thing?
Yes. So, in the second book, I'm going to try and do this as spoiler-free for you. In the second book, they're talking about earlier expeditions into Area X, and they talk about all these crazy different things that happened. And they talked all the way back to the first expedition.
Wow.
And now it's weird because the way the second book is written, it's supposed to be a mystery. You're supposed to be in the dark about a lot of things. So nobody says it, but a character is watching watching video footage from the first expedition, right? And earlier in the expedition, their walkie-talkies are working, but later on in the expedition, their walkie-talkies are not working. So my thought process is that when they brought those walkie-talkies, those radios, those whatevers to the other side of Area X, like when they brought it through the border, that having it in there, Area X is somehow able to learn what it is after being introduced to it, and then figure out how to block and intercept it.
Oh, they all but allude to that book, and they're like, no expedition is allowed certain levels of technology. You have to use, like, shitty old equipment.
Oh my god.
Like, you can't bring cameras, you can't bring videotape, because, like, they don't want whatever's in there to have
access. I am so glad that you said that, because that's what I thought too, right? In the book, they talk, like, the surveyor is like, why do we have all this old shit?
This shit equipment. Yeah, they're telling us on this super dangerous expedition, and they're giving us 50-year-old stuff. And
they're sending them out with, like, just old-ass 30-year-old, like, military and science equipment.
Yeah.
You know? And so I started thinking that, too, then. It was like, they don't want whatever's on the inside to, you know, have this technology. Which I think would be a safe conclusion that you could come to, maybe just as a human, you know, observing, what is this, the 12th expedition?
12th or 13th, yeah.
It's the 12th expedition, and they still don't know shit, you know, so they're sending people in with old equipment. That leads into my favorite part of the book that was not mentioned anywhere in the movie, is the sheer amount of paranoia and distrust towards all the other expedition members.
Everybody hates each other in this expedition in the book.
Yeah. They don't talk about the paranoia, and they don't talk about the hypnotism.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
The hypnotism angle to that book is, like, the single greatest negligence from that adaptation. It's the most important part to the horror and the tension.
Yes, the fucking hypnotism is the craziest part. So every expedition has to get sent out with a psychologist, because the psychologist has to hypnotize them, right? And everybody goes along with it, right? All the other expedition members are like, okay, yeah, you know, that's fine. Because
it's a crazy place, because we may need some, like, psychological help or whatever.
Well, the way they're able to sell it to the expedition volunteers is that crossing the border is such an insane and taxing process that you need to be hypnotized for it, or you're not going to make it, right? And so everyone's like, damn, okay, yeah, like, shit, then hypnotize us. But what they don't tell them is that there is a whole, like, that is the most basic thing that they're doing with the hypnotism. Other than that, the psychologist has a whole cheat sheet of hypnotic cues to get the other expedition members to do what she says.
Yeah, it's like, induce calming, follow my command, go to bed and have, like, good dreams. Like, that kind of, like, puppet work that the psychologist is able to just sort of lead them around on.
And so all the characters start learning that the psychologist is actually just a fucking puppeteer, you know? Like, pretty early on in the book, the biologist becomes immune to, immune to hypnotism.
And then she sees the way the psychologist just, like, flicks the other people like a switch.
Yeah. And then eventually, I don't want to give away all the best parts in case some of you are going to go read this, but when the psychologist found the biologist found the psychologist's fucking cheat sheet, man, oh my god. I don't know what the fucking literature equivalent to Kino is, but that part was just fucking 10 out of 10 amazing. I loved that scene when she got a hold of the psychologist's cheat sheet.
The inter-conflict between the team combined with, like, the alien territory, it was such a good just, like, stress read. Like, you just never felt good at any point in this book.
No. No. It was... That's another reason that you should go read this. Even if you're not into reading, the way that it is written... There's so many breaks in chapters. There's multiple scenes going on within one chapter, and you're not reading any one scene for too long before it switches.
It's pretty breezy as well. It's not the biggest book in the world.
Like 160? Something
south
like that?
South of 200.
Yeah. One of our friends did it in one day.
The champion, but... You have to be able to be happy or at least comfortable with not getting answers. You just have to understand they're not going to give it out to you.
No. And that was very much what I thought was the theme, right? That's very much what I thought was the message. Was like, sometimes you're just not going to get answers. And you have to live with that. Or not even that you're not going to get answers. Sometimes you might get answers, but you won't be able to comprehend them. If you know what I'm saying. Yes, there is a central location in the book that is completely omitted from the movie. And that everybody calls it something else. And in the second book, they're still calling it by different names. Everybody. Right? It's
like referring to it to different things.
The biologist calls it the tower. Right? But it's like, they call it topographical anomaly, they call it a tunnel, they call it a cave, they call it a whatever. But it's a hole in the ground, and when you go in it, it is a descending staircase with English writing on the wall. English characters. And it is writing the most, like, fucked string of, like, brimstone and hellfire preaching, like, breaking the seventh seal, like, secret
poetic destiny flavor text-esque, like, epic poetry.
Yeah, and it's insane, but the whole thing rambles on for so long that it doesn't make sense.
It lacks, like, a through line, almost. Like, I'm trying to find out, like, what whoever the writer is trying to express, and I
know what it is, and I know what he's trying to express.
No. But you know already you're only on
book two? But I can't tell you what the writing means. Fuck. I need to read
book two.
Yeah. But, and it's not just writing with, like, a pen and an ink. This is a plant, like a fungus, I think it was in the book.
Biological, like...
It's plant matter.
Fungi growth.
That is growing in the shape of English words.
And there's this weird alien ecosystem growing in the lettering. Like, plants and animals and little bugs thrive in the writing.
Down to, the smallest detail. It is nuts.
It's wet. writing. Like, it's like mucusy, I think.
Yeah. And that leads the biologist to believe that it's fresh, right? So they go in there, and they go down a couple steps, and they're like, this is a little dangerous for us. Let's go back. But not before the biologist tries to get a sample off the wall and accidentally breathes in a fucking face full of spores from this wall writing. And that's what makes her immune to the hypnosis.
Very early on, she becomes immune, and she's got to, like, fake the commands that she's given to sort of play under the radar.
Because she fucking doesn't trust the psychologist.
Who could? After you know she's, like, working them all like strings.
Like. Oh, yeah. Like a puppet. And like I said, man, there's details in the movie that you're not going to pick up unless you read the book. If you go back and watch that right now, I definitely think that, like, there is some hypnotism stuff going on. But that was just a reference for the book fans.
If I rewatch that movie and I hear one of them use a certain couple of words, I'm going to freak out.
Yeah. It's
there's a number of phrases I don't want to hear in that script.
Yeah, it's fucking insane.
Okay.
You know, maybe not verbatim, but just like the mannerisms, the suggestion and the body of. Yeah. You can definitely see it when you watch the movie after reading the book. You know, you pick up on a whole lot. The clone scene was weird.
I mean, the power of the hypnotism is so strong that certain members of the expedition are seeing different things.
Yes.
Like your eyes are perceiving, like, different
matter. So after the biologist renders herself immune to the hypnotism, she goes back into the tower the next day, and she notices that the walls and the floor and the ceiling and the steps and everything in that tower is made out of flesh.
Like a meat tower, because before that, they were told it's like rock, it's all stone.
Yeah, and she looked at the surveyor, because the surveyor went down with her and lost her shit. Right? And the surveyor was like, you need to calm the fuck down right now. And that's when she realized that she had been hypnotized to see, like, the stone walls and the stone floors. Those were hypnotic cues. And she was like, she was like, oh, fuck. She doesn't see it.
The deception starts pretty early.
Yeah. Just absolute deception 24/7 from the psychologist. She is certifiably insane and also the best character in the fucking book.
She's so cool and interesting and scary.
Yeah, she is horrifying. And so the gang all gets split up. The surveyor and the biologist are down in the tower, and the biologist spills. The biologist is like, look, this whole thing is made out of flesh. Like, they go down far enough that the hypnosis wears off, and the surveyor realizes that she's fucking, you know, fucked up. And then they go down a little further, and they find the body of the anthropologist. She died down there.
I'm surprised how early, like, we start dropping team members.
Yeah. And then, and she says it right in the beginning, too. She's like, the surveyor is the only one that'd be alive for a couple more days. Because the book switches from, like, this weird first person, and then, like, sometimes it's, like, or not first person. Sometimes it's past tense, you know. Sometimes it's present tense, you know. It's weird. It's weird, and I think it's like that on purpose.
I think the whole point is to sort of disorient you. Yeah.
Yeah. The language and the words that he uses repeatedly, it makes this whole thing to confuse you, right? Like, you're also in Area X.
Just feeling weird the whole time.
Yeah.
You don't know, and the character doesn't know.
Yeah.
And it like, you are deceived oftentimes when the biologist is deceived.
Yeah. And the biologist, she also just straight up lies to the reader sometimes. Or just omits details and tells you later.
Or she'll casually be like, hey, you remember when I said, like, a couple chapters ago it was like this? Well, actually,
it's not like that. It's like this.
I need to, like, re-reveal things to you.
Like, she re-reveals that the spores she inhaled are, like, amounting to something inside of her, but she can't explain it.
There's this weird, like, superpower internal energy thing going on with her. Yeah,
it's affecting her, like, emotionally, physically, and mentally. And it's from the spores, but she, like, just refers to it as the brightness.
She feels like the brightness burning up in her. She's able to get, like, spidey senses and super speed and enhanced reflexes.
But it's so fucked up, man. It's so, like, fucked up because later on, after she tells us that she feels this brightness inside of her, that she feels this burning sensation, like, in her, not physically in her, but, like, she feels this burning sensation in her being, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She meets up with the psychologist later on. The psychologist starts just talking to her with, like, a smirk and using all this imagery to describe her as a flame, a burning light, in implying that, like, psychologist somehow knows.
Or can, like, see it, yeah.
And knowing what I know now on the second book, yeah, I believe she knew. I believe the psychologist knew.
She goes so far as to be like, it looked like a torch was walking down the mountain or down the hill coming towards me. I could see you miles off, like, beaconing yourself with this light.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like...
Even, like, the more I talk about it, the less I know what the fuck went on in this book. Like, I'm losing myself in it.
It only gets worse. I promise. I thought the worst of it was in Area X. It's not. The worst of it's on the other side of Area X.
I mean, so much is confusing and lost to me that I'm even surprised there could be two or three books afterwards. I have no idea what the page of the second book is going to be like.
Oh, yeah. At Neither all. Did I. Neither did I.
Like, what? Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's nuts.
When do you get to bust out the real eldritch juicy bits?
Yep. Right at the end, they're like, just kidding. This was the perfect modern Lovecraft story. Right at the very end, they're just like, just kidding.
They give you the little tastes and flavors going into it because they start to determine that there's some entity in the tower writing these creepy scripts.
As soon as they see the words, they're like, there's got to be something down there writing them.
Mm-hmm. They quickly, like, evacuate the tower and, like, reevaluate the plan.
Yeah, they're like, we need to get the fuck out of here. The psychologist is gone. When they get back, they learn that the psychologist sent the anthropologist down there in the middle of the night with hypnosis and lied to them about where she was in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so the biologist is like, I'm going after the psychologist. And the surveyor's like, fuck that. If you're not here tomorrow, I'm leaving without you. And
she's also packing the one rifle on the expedition.
Yeah. 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 They send the whole squad in with fucking M4s and shit in the second one. Or in the movie. But in the book, they were like, here's one rifle and a lockbox of handguns.
Just like loose, like,
because previous firearms. Because previous expeditions kept shooting each other.
And you know what? It kind of makes sense.
Kind of makes sense.
Even all throughout the book, she's like, well, I've got this gun. I could always, you know, one for her, one for me.
So many times in the book, the biologist is like, but I did have a gun in my hand. I could just shoot her. I'm like, what the fuck?
That, like, ripping tension between them. She's always like, well, okay, if she betrays me just too much, she's gonna eat this lead. Like, make no mistake about it.
Oh, at the end? When she fucking just caps the surveyor?
It eventually comes to the point where the entire team, like, breaks apart from each other. They all go and pursue their own goals. And the surveyor is, like, hunting her with a rifle, most dangerous game style, because she wants to get back, right? She wants to leave Area X.
Yeah, yeah.
And biologist, our protag, is like, I need to find out what the psychologist is doing. And I think maybe the truth is the lighthouse, and I need to go check that out.
Yeah. So, biologist gets to the lighthouse, and she finds the most fucked things in the world. Which is insane because they didn't even go to the top of the lighthouse in the second or in the first one. Yeah, I keep saying first one. In the movie. Or they didn't even go up the lighthouse. Right. She walks in and goes.
He just walked in.
She walks in and goes immediately down. But the lighthouse in the book is so insane. She gets there and it's like this abandoned, desolate, fucking like old fort.
Like where a war or a battle had so very clearly taken place.
Like, to the point where previous expeditions, like, glued large panes of glass to the lighthouse so that things couldn't climb up it. They built a giant wall, not giant wall, but they built, like, a defendable wall that was facing the sea.
That was some of my favorite, just, like, storytelling through location. Like, it wasn't any character, it was like the world yeah. was giving such a clear picture of what was going on, because they were defending both the walk up to the lighthouse and the cliff face on the ocean, because things were coming up the cliff and assaulting the lighthouse.
Yes. You go inside the lighthouse and the whole thing is just littered with shell casings, bullet holes in the wall, every pane of glass is just fucking busted. But there's no bodies.
Tables flipped.
But there's no bodies. There's no leftover equipment. There is nothing but the leftovers of a battle. No bodies, no equipment, nothing at all. And Viola just goes to the top. And on her way to the top, what does she find? Tell me about what she found on her way to the top, not at the top.
I think it's hard to go into because I kind of wanted to swerve to the movie a little bit because it ends at the lighthouse.
Go ahead.
So the weird part to me is they don't go to the tower at all in the movie. There's no mention of the script or any writer. Like, the goal was get to the lighthouse, see what's going on.
Yeah.
And when they reach there, there's this mass, this like entity.
Yeah.
And it looks like wet TV static.
Yeah, that's a way to describe it.
And it starts to mirror Natalie Portman.
That, okay, I thought that part was fucked. Like, so when it was just goofing around and, like, being little metallic alien man, I was like, okay.
Something's going on,
but
yeah.
When it started mimicking Natalie Portman, I was like, no.
Like her body movement, like a plane of glass is between them, and it's just, like, walking as she walks. And it,
yeah.
And she uses this tricky little, like, I'm gonna open up a grenade and have it actually open it up.
Yeah.
Type thing. To get it to, like, phosphorus burn itself.
And since it's, like, since they call it refracting, since the alien is somehow mimicking everything within its border in the shimmer, because she lit the source on fire, the source started refracting everything to what it made, you know? Does that make sense?
Not entirely. I'm kind of lost right there.
So that, I had this discussion with Joe the other day, because I know in my head what happened at the end of the movie, but it's hard to put it into words, right? So this, in the movie, you know, the only person to make it back from Area X is a biologist's husband. And he comes back and he's a weird fucking dude, but you find out that he's actually a clone that that Area X created and sent back out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you see video footage at the end of her husband talking with the clone, like conversing with it, and you see video evidence of like the metallic alien, of like when it's in its cloud form. You see evidence of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so my theory is that this singular, like the cloud, the cloud of static is like a cell, right? And when it transforming, when it's trying to turn into a copy of biologist, it has like a gestation period. You know, it has to grow. You know, so like it
has to learn about
it. Mimicked enough of her movement. It mimicked enough of her movement. It fucking you know, looked at her long enough to copy her appearance. So I think that if she hadn't fucking caught it on fire and just, you know, left it alone, that maybe in an hour, 2 hours, 2 days, in an amount of time, it would have just been, you know, like cell division, right?
And Natalie Portman 2 would have left Area yep. X and done yep. something?
Natalie Portman 2 would have done something.
That antagonism between the world and Area X, I think, is... I kind of wanted more, because they say Area X is slowly expanding, right?
Right.
And that, like, maybe one day it'll all be Area X? The whole world will be this weird, verdant, life-growing, cell-dividing hell?
Yeah.
And in the movie, I feel like they're trying to tell you, okay, we won. Like, we burnt the source
yes. alien. At the end of Annihilation, it's very much like a you won. You know? Like,
mission complete.
We beat them.
With the caveat that Natalie Portman's eyes do the weird glow in the final moment.
Yes. But,
her DNA's weird. Oh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we see in the movie, she takes a sample of her own blood and she's got weird cells. You know, maybe that's supposed to be the brightness. Maybe that's supposed to be this, you know. I think it was just something that made sense on the screen, you know, that left you with like a little what if, like, oh, is Natalie Portman the clone?
They gotta give you a little more. Yeah.
And no, Natalie Portman is not the clone at the end of the movie.
So the movie ends like 70 pages before the book. We've got a whole like arc and a half left to go through.
Yeah, so at the end. So that's what happens at the lighthouse in the movie. In the book, it's like we were saying, it's like the site of a huge battle. It looks like an abandoned fort, you know, more than a lighthouse. There's mm-hmm. there's shell casings everywhere, bullet holes everywhere, two defensible walls, one facing the sea and one facing inland. Like, dudes were holding out here. And so she gets in and she goes to the top of the lighthouse. But on her way up there, on a little staircase landing, she finds the only other image of a human being in Area X, the only one undisturbed. And it's a photo of the who is assumed to be the lighthouse keeper. And somebody circled it. Right?
That meant nothing to me, like, when I read it.
it'll mean a whole lot by the end.
Uh-huh.
It's gonna mean a whole lot even more in the second book.
I'm reading a secondhand copy of it. My partner's read it for college, and it's full of notes and highlighters and secret, like, marginalia. And when that moment arrives, you best believe there were some exclamation points on the fucking note.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. It was like I was reading it side by side. It was great.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. But, so...
Yeah, go ahead.
So she gets to the top of the lighthouse, and she finds a hatch in the floor. She opens it up, and in this hatch is the journals of a lot of journals from the previous expeditions. But 12 expeditions with teams of, you know, 4. Basically, what I'm trying to say is the amount of journals in that pile isn't adding up to the amount of expeditions that she's been told there's been.
She calls it like a mountain of journals. She's able to like dig her whole arm into the yes. pile and get like sucked into the mountain of journals.
She has to physically climb it.
Like dive it.
She describes it as like a tomb, a sarcophagus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she finds her husband's journal. You know, and I think that the drama between the wife and the husband in the book was just 10 times more interesting. Just 10 fucking fold more interesting than how they did it in the movie.
You find out, like, her upbringing, her, like, college years, like, studying biology, meeting this man, even though she's very, like, antisocial. She's a this one guy.
In the book, she's a biology homunculus. That's all she exists on this earth for, is to do biology.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And her husband is like, why won't you open up to me? Why won't you tell me more about yourself? Like, I don't understand. We're married. And she's like, this is it.
Biology.
She's trying to be like, honey, I'm a biology homunculus, and you're just gonna have to accept it. And like
Jotaro levels of like biology fixation.
Yeah, it's all she cares about. It's all she wants to do. And she's like always having this internal fight with herself. Like, should she feel responsible that her husband went into Area X? Because it's implied that the husband went into Area X because his marriage was failing. You know, mm-hmm. they allude that, like, the one woman in his life that all he wanted was for her to open up to him so that they could be closer, and she just won't. So he was like, well, fuck it. I'm going to go in, you know?
I'm going to go into this, like, haunted zone that nobody ever comes out of. No big deal.
Which is another theme that they all talk about a lot, is that a lot of people use this... just use Area X to kill themselves, you know, like there's things that Area X does that like symbolize like, oh, people just come here to die. More so in the movie than the book. Definitely more so in the movie.
Yeah. The movie plays up like the depressed explorer aspect of the group.
Yeah. But like in the book I don't want to say it's a one-off line, but they don't talk about it that much. They do talk about it, but they don't talk about it that much.
They also refer to, like, the extensive amount of training and onboarding you go into to be able to go into Area X.
Oh, yeah. In the movie, Natalie Portman was like, well, I want to go to Area X. And they're like, all right, well, we'll school.
Here's a rucksack, yeah, brother.
Here's a rucksack and an M4. You got it. And then in the movie, they're talking about how they did like a year of build-up training at like multiple facilities.
Yeah, in the book, my bad.
They're talking about how they did like a build-up of training for like almost a year.
They memorize like the lighthouse is here, the circumference of the zone is this.
Yeah, and oh my god, that's another crazy thing, is like in the movie they did this really cool visual effect for the border. It's like a holographic Pokemon card, you know, it looks crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of blurry on the other side of it, but in the book, the border is completely invisible. You can't see it. It just has to be marked off with like a red spray painted line. You know?
That's the best.
And
that's it.
And like they have all these maps, they have all these observations into what should be Area X, but the area that they're looking at, there's just nothing. Like there's nothing to tell that
that this is the Area X, yeah.
The only thing that gives it away is like if it's raining, might not be raining in Area X. You know? So then it just looks like a gigantic fucking dome of like beautiful blue sky.
Or there's, you know, shapeless, unknowable demons walking around the forest over here.
Or you just see your buddy vanish into thin air because he went a couple extra feet over the line.
Yep.
You know? And
in her husband's journal, she finds out he made it to the lighthouse with his crew, and they were like 12 deep. They were like a whole platoon. Or whatever. And he and another guy went further north past the lighthouse. They didn't find any value in staying there.
And
they go for miles past where it's supposed to end.
They were like, by according to every map, we should be like 20 miles out of Area X right now.
Like, it should be done. We should be gone. Yeah.
And nothing. Nothing. They mention this in the book too, but there's... like, in the movie, they just cross it anywhere ever, you know? But in the movie, there's only, like, one entrance, kinda? It's purposely ambiguous, you know? But you can cross anywhere. But I think that, like, the only way you can cross and, like, live is, like, through one spot.
Yeah, maybe Southern Reach developed a safe door or something.
Oh yeah, it's absolutely insane. Just like the differences, the clones are nuts. In the movie, they're like, yeah, nothing has ever came back from the Shimmer, you know. But in the book, they're like, oh yeah, every expedition comes back, but it sure as shit ain't the people we sent out.
Yeah, the double team always comes out after our expedition force either all killed themselves or got attacked by the shamblers and demons.
After every expedition, like a set or one or two, an amount of clones comes back. And they're like trying to do debriefing interviews and everything. And they're like, what happened in Area X? And they're like, nothing.
No big deal.
The only common point is that everybody describes like it just being a pristine wilderness, and they'll be
just like a reserve,
and they'll just be like, yeah, it was beautiful, nothing like, or they'll be like, well, you know, do you remember this video? And they show them like a video of like homie's guts moving around in his hand like a snake, and you know, he shoots his best friend in the head because he thinks he's a fucking doppelganger or something, and he's like, I don't remember that. The clones are always just like, ah, no, that didn't happen.
The husband clone makes it back to their house.
Yeah.
And the biologist is going crazy because he won't, like, acknowledge he was gone for so long and what it was like. He just sits down and, like, has his coffee like nothing happened.
And the husband was really into boats, right? And there was this really cool scene where clone husband just went outside to do something or whatever, and he was just staring at the boat in the driveway. And the biologist comes up and she said it was almost as if he knew that this boat was important, but he couldn't remember why.
Yeah, he has these maybe memory fragments, or he knows like he's feeling something but doesn't have the memory behind it.
So like Area X always reproduces these imperfect clones with like either no memory or either suppressed memory. I can't tell if they're just imperfect clones and this is how they're acting, or if Area X is purposely programming the clones to act like this.
I think it's probably an accident, because he's only out of Area X and like living with his wife for like 24 hours or something, and Southern Reach swoops him up and they're like, you gotta come back to the lab, bro, like why are you wandering the streets?
That's another common thing too, is that returnees won't come back to Southern Reach. They always just find the returnees. They happen upon them via like police reports or shit like that.
But then all, like, the replicas have this, like, degenerativeness to them.
Yeah, they all get, like, super like, quick cancer.
I was going to say super cancer. Yeah, they just, like, break down after a while.
Yeah, it's almost like they're temporary.
So she loses her husband and then finds out in the journal he wandered off and fucked off deeper into Area X, and he might still be out there. He might be at this island he fixated on in his journal.
Yeah. Area X extends, like, a lot further into the fucking sea, into the sky, into the ground. Like, it is fucking...
Into the ground. Massive. Oh, yeah.
It is a sphere. It does not... It's not a dome. It's a sphere. You know?
He describes in the journal that distances aren't consistent when he goes to and from the lighthouse. Like, a 12-day hike becomes a 4-day hike.
Yep.
And they don't understand why land compresses and extends in the ways that it does. Yep.
And so she reads in her husband's journal that he was just like, and fuck it, I'm gonna go see what's on that island.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And there's no mention of an island in the movie. But like they're looking at this island from the shore, and it's got like houses on it, it's got buildings on it. And so I definitely think the island's coming up again. We're going to that island in the third book. I know it.
It seems like it has to.
Yeah, and if you're up on the whole series, man, come on, don't ruin it in the comments for the rest of us.
Be cool. I know we only get one comment per 5 videos, but if this is gonna be the one comment,
yeah, don't let it be the fucking acceptance spoiler cast. Because I'm only like about halfway through Authority. But what were you saying? I'm sorry.
There's this weird thing about the nighttime in Area X.
Oh yeah, nighttime was like always sounded by like this just demonic screaming just out in the fucking somewhere out in Area X.
There's this horrible wailing, like clockwork, that like signals the nighttime. And also there's always these weird lights, like sometimes lights come out of the swamp, or lights beam out of the lighthouse in weird ways. And nobody ever seems to question this.
Or lights beam out of characters.
Or lights start flashing out and like beaconing people, like the psychologist described. And once these people are like a part of Area X and they start spending time there, they just accept the craziest, weirdest things happening to them, and they go, okay, we're in a new world, there's new rules here.
Oh yeah, the biologist did not flinch once. The whole time she was just like, and now to write this in my scientific journal.
Yeah, now there's a swamp demon who, like, sheds its skin into, like, face mask carapaces. That's really cool and weird.
Yeah, and finally, at the end, she goes into the tower, and she goes all the way to the bottom, and early on in the book, she starts nicknaming the entity in this tower the Crawler, right? Mm-hmm. And in her last scene with the psychologist, she asks the psychologist, what do you know about the Crawler? And all the psychologist says is, oh, so that's what you call it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just the most cryptic shit.
If the psychologist is an extension of Southern Reach, and so she clearly knows the creature, or maybe, like...
Oh, yeah.
What does that mean? What is the connection between the tower and the Crawler and the entity that's sending people to it?
Yeah. Yeah. So...
If I could make a creative choice here, I want to do as tantalizingly little as possible with this final conversation with the psychologist, because that's a must-read section.
That is the one thing I'm not going to spoil. I'm going to spoil the entire ending for you guys right here, right now. But the final scene between the biologist and the psychologist is not something to be spoiled.
I need hands off that subject. Oh my god.
That was so amazingly good that you need to go read it.
In terms of, like, contextualizing this whole expedition and, like, re-revealing information, like, that, it's one of those conversations.
Yes, it is the reveal. Probably even more of a reveal than what we're about to
tell. What's about to happen at the bottom of the tower, yeah.
So she gets to the bottom of the tower, and it's a fucking big-ass, indescribable, horrid tentacle Lovecraft beast.
That's also, like, maybe made of light? Maybe made of shimmering?
Yeah,
it expands and contracts.
And sometimes she describes it as, like, a giant mass, and sometimes she describes it as interconnected, like, panes of glass. And it's got, like, these orbiting creatures all around it and shit, and just like this horrible Lovecraft beast.
This is what I pictured in the picture I just gave you?
Yeah, pretty much. It pretty much just looks like a giant slime monster, right?
I didn't know if it was, like, when I was going through the book and sort of letting it all play out before me, they describe that it moves weirdly, like they couldn't really track its footprints.
Yeah.
In the tower, because they could see all the different expeditions, like, stomping around.
Yeah, and the whole floor was made of, like, this, like, weird, viscous, golden liquid that was also a habitat with micro creatures living inside of the fucking golden ooze.
So when they called it the Crawler, you know, I thought it was going to be, like a
quadruped. I'm like, it's going to be the Rake.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, something that's, like, hunched over and, like, kind of mammalian, I hoped. It wasn't this, like, slime thing made of lights and tentacles that I'm seeing now.
No, it wasn't Azathoth.
Exactly.
Or, like, you know, when they were talking about the Reed Demon.
I love the Reed Demon so much.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's some stuff we're not going to talk about because you need to go read it for yourself. like the Reed demon, and the psychologist.
So she meets the crawler. The whole book's leading up to this moment, and they're down deep, deep, deep in there, and there's this like glowing light filling the room.
And what does the crawler do, other than just brain goop just her on sight?
Turns around and goops her like the Dead Space jump scare where the ghost grabs you.
The way she describes it is she saw it and then turned around to leave, but as soon as she turned around to leave, it was like as if a different creature entirely that was just like, you know, a big and strong humanoid grabbed her and smashed her against the wall and like jammed its fingers into her head and just started like reading her brain. It just feels like she's drowning. Mm-hmm. In there, like she's dying in there, and when it stops, she's just fine. There's no physical damage to her body, and the crawler just goes back to what it was doing.
Completely ignores her,
and she doesn't know what it was doing. She cannot confirm whether or not it was the one writing shit on the walls, because she just had no idea what was happening in there.
And mind you, the attack is like 5 or 6 pages of the most haunting, confusing, like pain journey she's going on. It's such a good. Yeah. Oh.
And then she sees that beyond the crawler, there is more to the tower.
Yeah.
And so she goes on. She continues. Right. And she gets halfway down the stairs into what looks like a black void. Mm-hmm. Right. And in this black void, the walls stopped being made of flesh, and the stairs started to be made of stone, and she just saw, like, a perfect rectangular door with just a gigantic light going through it, mm-hmm. You know? And she got, like, halfway to that door, and she was like, nah. Turned around and left. Jeez. And so she goes... Go ahead.
She says, okay, we're going to leave the tower. We're going to just not talk about the crawler. It did something to me. She hypothesizes that she's undergoing some kind of change. Like, the light is affecting her. The crawler is affecting her. The spores are affecting her. She knows something's up.
And so when she came back, she pretty much just, you know, closed her eyes and ran through the fucking crawler room. But at the very end, she turns around, and I'm not going to tell you who she sees, because that's another psychologist moment. That's another Reed's demon moment. You got to read that one for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But she turns around, and she sees something else in the room with the crawler, and then she just leaves.
She decides she's going to continue on the expedition. She's not going to bail. She's the only one left. And she's thinking about that island, and she's thinking about her husband.
Yeah, she says, I ain't leaving. She gets to the top after seeing the crawler, and she said, I ain't leaving. Oh, and even when I said the biologist was unflinching, even then, as it was like brain gooping her, she said, I may not be able to understand it, but I can take solace in the fact that that's only because there's a limitation to my human perception. There's a limitation to my equipment.
She's completely like end of a Lovecraft story, like unknowable horror, face to face.
And her first thought is, if only I had better tools.
If only they let me bring a good microscope and a camcorder, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, it's not that it can't be understood, it's that I can't understand it, and I can take solace in that. I'm like, wow. I'm like, this chick does not care,
or she cares so much, like she
yeah, is... or yeah. A biologist is a great character, way better character in the book, way more depth, yeah, just much cooler.
As she sets off to continue her journey and find her husband up the coast, we're left knowing nothing.
Yeah, no, you're left with no answers, which makes Annihilation perfectly self-contained. If you don't care about anything that happens after that and just want a good little, you know, less than 200-page Lovecraft horror science story, You can have that.
Being pretty happy right there.
You don't have to open. You don't have to look at the second book. You don't even have to know there's a second book.
But there is more.
But there is more. And it's really good.
Is it?
It's really good. So, if you read the second one, or if you read the first one, go read the second one.
By the end of the book, I'm left with a couple of prominent questions that I will just let out in the air, and then maybe you'll just sort of snicker as you know more than me.
Sure.
I begin to ask myself, okay, is the biologist compromised? Is she now a part of Area X in a way that changes what her goals were when she came in?
All I can tell you is maybe.
And I wonder...
And that's with a serious question mark, because I don't know.
I wonder, we lost the psychologist. What does that mean for the people back at base who are sending these people? Like, is that a measured loss? Are they going to keep sending more people in? Was this different than other expeditions?
Yes.
They're going to send more people, you're telling me?
Yes.
Mm. And...
Losing the psychologist, losing that specific psychologist, yeah, was a major blow.
That's what I was wondering. Like, she seems so in control. But progress will continue.
Oh, yeah. If it seems like the psychologist knew way more, not just more, but way more than anyone else on the expedition, it's because she did.
She comes across like we were done with the expeditions in terms of like information gathering. We were in there to do something to Area X. Like, this was the big expedition. This was the
oh yeah,
you know,
you don't even need to read the second book to know that the psychologist had a completely different mission than everyone else.
Exactly.
You know, she had those dudes convinced it was made of stone. It's just a regular little wacky tower.
Do you know
the crawler's flesh pit?
I mean, I don't know. Do you know what her goal was?
Oh, I know what her goal was.
Jesus.
It's one of those completely recontextualizing things that happens in like the first 10 pages of the second book.
It's good. I have a lot of faith in Jeff Vandermeer to give me the goods.
Yeah, he's been delivering in spades in the second book.
So, do we know for a fact they're done with this movie series? They're not going to keep attempting
to... Yeah, they're not making it. Nope.
All right.
No talk about a second one, which is good, because I don't think that the second book would adapt to the screen very well.
Interesting.
I just don't think it would. You follow new characters, you're outside of Area X for most of it. It's different. It's tonally different, it's narratively different. If you're looking for more Annihilation by reading Authority, you're not going to get it. But if you're looking, not that you're not going to get it, but you're not going to like it, right? But if you're looking for more just Area X shenanigans, oh, you're in. You're in forever. Or if you're in for more hypnotism horror, that's still there.
Oh.
If you're in for more paranoia, that's still there.
I'm having such a good time. I'm reading Sissy News Death's End right now. It's the end of another sci-fi trilogy, but you're really getting me to want to like put that bitch on pause, because that's like 1,000 pages.
You might just want to put it on pause. I bet you if you pause Death's End right now and read the first 20 pages of Authority, that you wouldn't pick Death's End back up till you finish
Authority. That's what I'm upset about. I don't... If I get a taste, I think I'm going to like it.
But, you know, it's only like 300 pages. It's a nice little bite size.
I don't condone this practice, but you got a PDF?
I do.
Shit. Okay. I'll take a look tonight.
Okay. That was an easier sell than I thought it was going to be.
My appetite has been so thoroughly wet.
Well, I mean, we've been going on for a little bit now, but there's still one more question. Do you have any prominent theories? Any Anything that particularly spoke to you where you're like, this is definitely a piece of the puzzle?
So my understanding, and I really liked the imagery given, was that they described the tower, or someone like envisioned the tower as like a needle injecting into the earth.
Yeah.
And that that injection is making something change the area around it. Like, I don't think the crawler is the thing. I don't think it's like the controlling force like the alien is in the movie.
Yeah.
But it is a symptom of something deeper down in there. And it's all like bio-horror, so I don't know if it's like an alien entity trying to understand the Earth, or if it's experimentation gone wrong, and now it's like a they use the cancer metaphor a lot, but I don't know if it's like a cancerous thing that can only consume and copy and morph.
Yeah, I don't think that it's like a kill all thing. I don't think this is some insane alien technology where they just shoot an Area X onto the planet and wait 10 years. You know, I don't think it's as simple as that.
Yeah, I didn't think it was like a biomorphing like attack. I think it's just like some like color out of space bullshit, like good old classic.
I think it's like a force of nature.
Yep,
I think
you can't blame a crawler for crawling.
You can't blame a crawler for crawling. You can, however, blame a psychologist for sending you into the hell dimension.
You can blame a weird government black ops organization for feeding thousands of people to this entity, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I was saying earlier, and this is more so about the movie, but I don't know, I think it's a force of nature. I think it's just not even consciously doing what it's doing. I think it's just acting on what it does, like an animal.
Then why does this animal write the best goddamn poetry I've ever seen?
I can't tell you that.
Why does this dude scrawl like death metal lyrics on the walls?
So even that, right? The way that that came off to me the whole time was, I don't think that these words mean anything to the crawler, right?
Mm-hmm.
My theory is that he's receiving these words from somewhere, right? And this is just a documentation. This is just pretty much like a notebook, you know?
Oh, God.
It could be an organism, you know? Maybe it's not trying to hide because it's a hunter and it's malicious. Maybe it's a parasite.
I could see it being a parasite.
Maybe this is all it needs, is just like a couple square kilometers of the earth, and as long as you don't go in, nothing bad's gonna happen. But like I said, I think it's animal, like it's an animalistic level of intelligence, you know? That's why it wasn't like, oh yeah, I shouldn't land over here because that's, you know, right in the middle of fucking Berlin and people are gonna notice. I think it's just all chance, and that this is just an organism that is doing its thing, and we're the ones that are trying to make something out of it.
By like poking and prodding and shit?
Projecting.
Tons of projection.
Tons of projection. Everybody goes into Area X and is just projecting their problems onto Area X.
Yep.
Almost everybody that sees Area X projects their own problems.
It just becomes like a vessel for your depression, you know, or your failed marriage, or like, yeah.
And in the grand scheme of things, Area X might not even matter. Area X might just be a vector for these characters, because all the characters are interesting.
Sure.
You know, the biologist is really cool. The psychologist is really cool.
Even the surveyor.
I fucking loved the surveyor. The surveyor was like the most, like, most of her lines were like, this is all just bullshit.
Yeah, she was very, like, gruff. She was, like, the survivor out of them, based on personality.
she would be like, oh, people would be like, oh my god, did you hear that thing over there? And she would be like, well, when it comes over here, I'll fucking shoot it.
Yeah, she like wraps, you know, the rifle. Like, come what may.
Yeah, she was the fucking coolest. But yeah, that's what I think. I think it's just an animal or some kind of organism doing its thing. It's not malicious. It's not. It doesn't have any sort of intent. It's just making its way. Here's the new environment. Maybe not even a single organism. Maybe like, I don't know. I also don't think that it can be tied to a single one entity.
That's kind of what I want to hear. I don't want to get to the end of what's the third one called?
Acceptance.
Oh god. I don't want to get to the end of Acceptance, which is a very ominous name for a book, and to be told everything. I want it to be murky.
That's okay, because I don't think they told you everything by the end of Acceptance, because Absolution is being written as we speak.
Oh, you're right. Oh shit, you're right. There's a fourth one. Okay.
There is a fourth one being written as we speak. So, with a light spoiler cast of season one of the Southern Reach quadrilogy, if that wasn't enough to wet your palate, that this might not be for you, you know. But if it was, go watch Annihilation, then go read Annihilation, then come back to this video and comment your thoughts, or DM us, or yeah. That's it. It's a great, it's just great. That's all I can say about it.
Sci-fi horror is kicking strong. It's still good.
Come to Area X. It's nothing but like just pristine wilderness, like the best national park you've ever been to. Nothing bad ever happens in Area X. Bring your wife, bring your kids. Just get everyone you know and go into Area X. Nothing bad happens there.
Just give yourself over to its beauty.
Just surrender yourself to the crawler or the beauty and just have a good time at Scenic Area X. And if you would like to get in contact with Mad Tower Radio to tell your story or tell us your thoughts on Annihilation, you can comment on this video. You can send us an email at supermadtower@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter or Instagram at Mad Tower Radio. Or if you see me in real life, you can just run up onto the streets, grab me by the shoulders, and just scream Annihilation into my face. And that's a joke you won't get until you read the whole book. This has been Mad Tower Radio with the Annihilation spoiler cast. You guys take care.
Shadow Main, Shadow 1-7. I'm closing in on the source of the signal. Over.
Shadow 1-7, Shadow Main acknowledge.
What the fuck?
Shadow 1-7, what do you see?
It's just,
What do you see?
It's just two skeletons and a ham radio. Over.
Say again.
I say again, two skeletons and a ham radio.
You're listening to Mad Tower Radio.